Blog Talk Radio.
On the ocean and upon our sea, fish full of mercury. Oh, oh, mercy, mercy, mercy. Oh, things ain't what they used to do. No, no. Radiation underground and in the sky. Animals and birds who live nearby our eyes. All things and what they used to be. What about this overcrowded land? How much more the use from man can you stand?
All right. Welcome to the Panther Party Radio Network. This is The Big Picture with Melvin Seary Jr. I'm going to say a quick word, and I see that, I see my sister is on the line already, and I'm going to open up her mic so that she can come right on in. I'm not going to be long at all in opening this, because I really want to let her tell the story since she is there. And then we will definitely get off into this, and there are a lot of different angles. First of all, I want to take a moment to thank everyone who is online listening, all my overseas listeners. Thank you, my listeners that are in Boston, Massachusetts, where this show and others are replayed on the Activate Media platform. I want to thank you all for listening as well. Thank you all who may listen online. I want to thank those of you who will call in and listen and participate in the conversation as well. Like I say, I'm going to be brief in my opening because I see that my sister is here, and I want to let her get off, just really set the story, and then we'll get off into our discussion on tonight. First, I just want to start off by having a moment of silence for all of those who have lost or losing right now, and a moment of silence for those that unfortunately still have, you know, a loss to suffer. But just a quick moment of silence for this family that's suffering in Gulfport, Mississippi, and other families as well. All right. Thank you all. Thank you all. And I have with me one of my comrades, one of the queens, and I really admire this young lady. She has an ear to the ground and very knowledgeable as well. Sister, your mic is open. You can introduce yourself to the people, and then I'll let you have the floor.
Okay. Hey, brother. What's going on, everyone? I'm Kakia. Going to jump right into it. So, basically, the situation that Brother Melvin is speaking of is on the 6th, a 15-year-old child was gunned down by Gulfport Police Department. Okay, from the top, from what I gathered between, this information just came strictly from the news stations, which they get their information from the police department. So allegedly, there were car teams. Allegedly, the police department received calls that there was a car of, they didn't identify, I guess, who, but a car of people, will say that, that were driving down the road pointing guns at other vehicles. The teen in mentioning, I guess, the vehicle that he was in was stopped by the police officer. By way of police, a chase broke out between them and the teens. This particular teen was running, and they were sitting next to a Family Dollar store. So this teen was about to run into the store, by all appearance. But they, why now? This is where the confusion comes in for me, because they didn't specify specifically that the teen had a weapon on him. Although the article does read, and the police said that they got into it with a suspect who was armed, and then shots were fired. Now, that's what the police were reporting. Witnesses, pedestrians, and people who were there, I spoke to a couple of different people who either, I guess, showed up maybe after the fact, or I don't know if they were there. I didn't get into it. I was just asking them what, you know, did they know or see. And at least three people that I spoke to said that this child had no firearm. Now, the police went on to say that guns were found on the scene. I'm saying this wordplay is a mug. You know what I mean?
Right.
Honestly, I feel like they know they fuck up. And I feel like they're choosing the words that they use to not necessarily say this individual had a gun, but to put it out there to the public to think that. Because from reading the article, if I had not done the research and talked to the people that I talked to, if I didn't know better, if I didn't know how the police function, you know, it'd have you thinking, okay, this child was pulling a gun on the police. But I honestly do not think it was like that. Like I said, the several witnesses that I spoke to said that, nope, the child did not have no gun. They said, in fact, yes, he did run. They said they saw him fleeing. But the officers went to yell into get down on the ground or put your hands up or whatever. They said the child went to put his hands up to interlock behind his head, and shots were fired. Like I said, not really. They still really haven't released much detail past that. my thing is, if in fact, now, if in fact these children were going up and down the street pointing guns at people, yes, they are dead wrong, and yes, there should have been consequences, but being shot is not one of them. If in that moment, when police officers arrived, even if you fled, that did not warrant for him to be shot. If he was unarmed, I see no reason for him being shot. So that's the issue with me, is that, and we just, as we discussed earlier, in which it's no secret that our children are not granted the same grace as white children. Children of color don't get that same grace. You know what I mean? I feel like your mind was already set when you approached, because that you were dealing with black males, and your mind was already set on, these are threats. Be prepared to shoot.
Right, right. Definitely. First want to once again just, you know, send my condolences to the family. You know, you and I and another comrade who will probably be on here shortly, but, you know, we spoke earlier about the situation, and really I agree, because, you know, we definitely are in a situation now where we are under fire. You know, we are constantly under fire, and like you say, we aren't warranted those same instances of, I just say, simple respect, because, you know, you were telling, matter of fact, and the mother, unfortunately, of the child won't be joining us, and I don't have any qualms about that. Maybe though, within the next week or two, we can bring her on and do kind of like an update on this particular story as well, because, you know, I do like to keep you all in the loop and updated. Okay, I see brother is. I'm got to get my board up here so I can pay attention to what's going on. But, you know, kind of so we can stay in the loop and let the people know. But how is the young man doing as of right now, sister? I know earlier you said that he was still clinging to life, and I really wanted to know.
That's the last update that I know of. You know what I mean? Okay. Has it progressed any further? I'm not sure. But last I knew is that he was still in the hospital in ICU, basically fighting for a life that he shouldn't have to be fighting for.
I agree. Definitely, I agree. I see my brother is on the line as well. And, brother, I did open up your mic. I see that you had you wanted to chime in, so I wanted to give you an opportunity. And thanks for calling in, brother. Welcome. And you too, Sister Kia. I don't even think I welcomed you. Yeah, peace, brother.
Peace. Can everybody hear me?
Hey, brother.
Yes.
What's going on, Quinn? Listen, I'm going to kind of, because I know that to where we wanted to go with it, everybody ain't able to show up, and I understand that part. While, you know, I'm going to start this off with anybody who's talked with me in the past, met with me, knows anything about what I do and how I do it, they already know I have no love for policing in America at all. Not towards black, white, Asian, or indifferent. I could care less. My problem, though, there's a point where we have to accept. It's kind of like living in a forest and there's bears around. You know when you step outside, you need to be careful because you ain't going to see the bear till the last minute probably. And even if you do see the bear, you can't outrun it. You're not stronger than it. And whatever it wants to do to you, it's going to do. I really am starting to think that we have failed as a collective in making sure that our children, especially those in the formative years from 12 to 17, are aware of the danger in their, you know, in them just being out and maybe not doing anything wrong, not doing anything to draw attention, not doing anything, and that that does not protect you from bad policing. It doesn't. It doesn't make you safe. And to me, what I'm looking at is that I feel like we're failing in making sure that our younger folks are, you know, fully aware of the danger that you know, that they're in when they're out there riding around with their contemporaries and their friends, that they need to be extra vigilant. And that, you know, and that's not saying that every kid ain't on some dumb shit. We know they gonna do that. However, nobody is, when they see their kid go out with their friends, is expecting that they're going to get a call that something tragic has happened to their child at the hands of the police. And, yeah, the police are going to twist the story to make it seem like everything that they did was in line with some silly-ass policy or whatever. And then they're going to investigate themselves. They're going to find no wrongdoing. And they're going to try to demonize the victim. We already know the script. What I'm more looking at is, what can we do to start making sure that our youngsters are afraid? Afraid. And, yeah, I'm picking that word on purpose. Afraid of getting caught up in these type of situations and doing everything possible in their power to not wind up in that kind of situation, even if it means having to distance from friends who are a little bit reckless, walking away from shit. There's some things that they need to be doing so that this way they're not drawing the attention of these control and containment police officers, especially in a state like Mississippi, which, you know, left a law about slavery on their books for 130 years. They just took it off after 2000, abolishing slavery. So this shows you how far behind the thought process is there. Why aren't we better at messaging with these youngsters? And, you know, as far as, hey, it's some things you don't want to be doing because these things are going to draw the attention of those demons, and those demons are going to do things to you, and they're not going to care that your family's going to miss you or any of that. They're just going to do it. They're going to write some paperwork. Some of them are going to get the desk thing and still get their paycheck, get to sit home with their families while you got to grieve your lost loved one. What can we do to change this dynamic so that our youngsters, our future, is not put in peril before it even gets a chance to help us reach a better position? And I guess that's my frustration with all of this. It's like I'm just so sick and tired of hearing that police have shot young people, especially young black people. You know, that, and I'm not asking everybody to, you know, side with the young man's situation over the police or the police over the young man. What I'm talking about is looking at this, and this is continuing thing that happens, you know, and we got to do something. And trying to stop the cops from shooting at us, nothing has worked. Shot back, that don't work. government that don't, nothing, get nothing works, nothing. So the only thing I can see then is we have to save our children best as we can, but what can we do to get them to stop looking at life through these rose-colored glasses when it comes to them being out and about with their friends and forgetting that there are people patrolling these streets waiting to fuck with you? And how do we get them to understand that drawing that attention just don't make no sense? Because here's the result. No matter what he was doing in that car with his friend, and what sister said about how, you know, the police, the news is going to get their information from the police. They're not going to go talking to everybody over there. Not everybody's going to talk to them anyway, but they're going to get the most of their information from the police. The police are going to give you the driest run of it. They're not going to talk about certain other things. They're going to say they don't want to compromise the investigation. They don't want to do this and do that. Meanwhile, there's a young man laying in a hospital fighting for his life who may not have had anything to do with what was going on, if anything criminal was happening. But yet, right now, he has a situation. You know, and I want to save our kids rather than our kids wind up, you know, in these situations. What do we do to reach them and make them understand the true danger that's out here? Because it seems like America loves to paint this rosy picture of us all, you know, just going on about our business and there's a few bad apples. And I'm thinking, no, it was a country full of bad apples. So how could there only be a few of them now? I don't think so. There's a lot more what you want to call bad apples out there. I don't consider our youth apples. I consider them precious. What do we do to save them?
That's a good question, brother. And you said something, too, within that statement about how, you know, yeah, they're going to investigate themselves and, you know, find, just like they normally do, 9 times out of 10, find no fault. And then, during this whole process, the cops on paid leave as well, and these are things. Matter of fact, Sister Kia, if you have that particular letter, I want you to, you know, the one that you read earlier, that the narrative, this story, yeah, that the police are trying to spin, you know, as of what happened. And then from there, I'll give you the first stab at, you know, the question that Brother Kevin is putting on the table. And then I see you 3736 after Sister Kia speaks. I'll open up your mic and also bring you in and give you a chance to answer this question that Brother Kevin has laid on the table. And I think that's a very pertinent question. I got several callers on right now, so I just ask that everybody be respectful, and if you're not speaking, keep your phone muted so that we can hear the person who is speaking. Yeah, Sister Kim, I'm going to give you the floor again. And then 3736, I'm going to come to you next.
Okay, so basically what you were referring to was the news release, public information form that somebody just quickly typed up and put out to release information to the news. It was, like you say, it was very dry. It simply states, on October 6, 2022, at approximately 2:29 p.m., the Gulfport Police Department responded to the area of Carol Lorraine and Magnolia Street in reference to a vehicle occupied by multiple subjects brandishing firearms at motorists. Officers made contact with the vehicle in the area of 8th Avenue and Pass Road, and subjects fled from the vehicle. Our officers engaged an armed suspect, and shots were fired. One suspect was transported to a local hospital suffering from a single gunshot wound. Another suspect was apprehended after a short foot pursuit. All suspects are now in custody, and several firearms were recovered. The Mississippi Bureau of Investigation has assumed investigative authority in this case with the assistance from Biloxi Police Department Crime Scene Unit. The Gulfport police officer involved in the incident has been placed on non-enforcement duties in accordance with procedure. Signed by Sergeant Jason DeCue. And like I said, even with that statement, they already knew how critical. Like I said, it's all about wordplay. I've seen many instances where, let's say, it was citizen on citizen crime. You know what I mean? One person
right.
shot another versus police officer. It would be individual has been taken to the hospital with a single gunshot wound to the head in critical condition. I feel like they're trying to desensitize people to the reality of what happened to this child. It simply to me is just part of their plight. That's what they do. It like I said, it's very cut and dry. It wasn't really as much detail had it would been if it were person on person. And like I said, I feel like that's just simply done for a reason.
Right.
So trying to answer Brother Kevin's question, but I just want to jump back really quickly when you were saying that we're under attack. I wanted to add that we've been under attack. The only difference is now, back then they had more control of the Negro. Back then we were in bondage in a position to where we had no right to say, let alone do anything, let alone do. You get what I'm saying? So it's nothing new. That's from day one of being transported, snatched from the land that we were on already here, whatever, however you want to view it. We have always been under attack. I do understand, especially my conversation earlier, that as far as law enforcement and their respect for us, we're so far from getting that. And when you think about it, initially law enforcement was created specifically for black people. The first form of law enforcement, I think we've had this discussion before, was slave patrol.
Mm-hmm.
Law enforcement was specifically put together to target us. And hundreds of years later, here we are still dealing with the same thing. Let me jump forward. As far as what Brother Kevin was asking, I really think it takes, for us as adults, it's going to take discipline on our end and consistency. I know, it's tough. You know what I mean? Kids are no joke. Kids are absolutely no joke. They are 10 times more something else than what we were, and I ain't even trying to be funny, but kids today, I look at them all the time, and I'm like, honey, y'all ain't got sense God gave a cat. I don't think they are as swift as we were. We were, you know what I mean?
Right.
We got on it. By the time we were 13, 14 years old, we could run a whole house, go out and run errands, pay bills. These kids are just different.
Yeah.
I think a lot of that comes from, you got to think, like I said, we're two generations, little generations apart. For me, and I notice when I'm speaking to some of my friends, it's pretty much compensating for what they didn't get as children. You know what I mean? By us,
right.
A lot of people having to be independent so young, seeing so much, just around you. We didn't have the internet and all that stuff exposing us. We looking at stuff in our surroundings that we see. You know what I mean? So I think
right.
for a lot of people, compensating on for what they feel like they didn't get. And or what they feel like their parents didn't do. So people are a lot more lax on the children than they were. And, I mean, back then you always had somebody, you go find out the hard way. You had somebody constantly telling you. I mean, I could say people probably do all that today too. But saying earlier, at the end of the day, kids, not just kids, but as humans, are going to be humans and we're going to make mistakes. You know what I mean? Things are going to happen. Some mistakes are bigger than others. And I just honestly feel like when it comes to law enforcement, even though it's not fair, it's something we have to come up with and something we need to do to get fairness, because at the end of the day, their job, people, without us messing up anybody, if nobody in this world messed up and did things, we would have no need for law enforcement. I feel like it really needs to be pushed that we need some type of reform. Because it's your job to know how to deal with people in situations, especially if you're not in a non-threatening situation. And, I mean, that's, like I said, that's hundreds and hundreds of years of each generation being taught that we are the bad people, that I don't know how that would break. But I also don't want our kids to feel like, I don't know, it's like it kind of put me back in the mind of slavery. Like, they controlled us through fear. You know, I really want our kids to know the dangers. You know what I mean? To know, though, that there are rights, that certain rights that they do have, and I want them to know how to deal with these situations. You know what I mean?
True.
And
true.
That just takes consistency, and it's going to take discipline from us. It's going to take us as aunties, uncles, parents, grandparents to actually start investing and doing these things and teaching them these things. But a lot of adults don't know. You know what I mean?
True.
You know this
right.
ain't right. You know this ain't right. You shouldn't do this because I'm a human. You shouldn't do this to me. You know
That's
what I mean?
Right.
You know, but past that, a lot of us don't know. Most of them don't know. I kind of said some stuff to a police having a conversation about how showing them what they're doing is wrong and how you didn't even know this was against the law for you to do.
Right. True.
So,
true.
You know, so you don't even know what you're supposed to be doing, what your job consists of. All you know is my job is to come out here and try to bully and throw my weight around with people. Specifically,
yeah,
like
that's
people.
That's really what they do now, especially. I've got three callers waiting in queue. I'm going to open up in order. And thank you, Sister Kim. We're going to stay on subject with this. Number 3736, I'm going to open you then, caller 7244 after 3736, I'll open you up, and then 4823, I want to bring you all in. Brother Kevin brought up a good question, and this is what I'm just asking each of you, you know, and I want to really stay on subject to this, to what it is that, you know, we need to do to get the children back on track as well, you know, because we can't just, you know, act as if it's all up to the children to get, you know, in order. We have to show them what that order is, you know, and like earlier when we were talking, you know, it's up to us to gain back that control and give them that redirection, you know. 3736, your mic's open, just introduce yourself and make your comment, and then 7244, I will be opening your microphone up next.
All right, greetings everyone. My name is Queen Solomon, and I am a parent, a teacher, and just all-around children lover. I love my babies, my children. That's all of them. I'm concerned, first of all, I'm going to say this right here. We're so busy making a living that we have forgotten how to live. Now, most of us was born either in the 70s or 60s or something like that. Or late 60s or early 70s. And I'm sure some 80 babies on here too. Okay. Somewhere the people dropped the ball. Now, we teach our children, and we know what, you know, we can't be there every single moment with them. We know that. We know they're going to get into mischief. We know that. Now, I don't know exactly what the young child did. I just kind of caught a glimpse of it. But he didn't kill anyone. They didn't murder nobody. Did they steal a vehicle? I just need somebody to say yes or no. Did they steal a vehicle? Okay, then.
No.
Even if they do. Okay, thank you. All right, then. Here's the deal. There was never no reason to shoot at those children because the only crime there is to kill somebody. The only people that's committing crimes out here is the police. Our community, we need, I mean, We go to church every Sunday. We have been to church every Sunday. But not one time have they actually took the youth aside and say, these are the strategies we're going to use to protect you if you ever get stopped by the police, because we're going to go way back to slavery days. This is the way they handled this. This is what happened when you didn't comply with their rules and regulations. Okay, then there should have been men. They masons and all of this. They should have had something set up for when another male, men, come and hurt their children or their wives. The ball should have never been dropped. It should have never been dropped. No matter what kind of fear they placed in our community, no matter how many people they have killed, the ball should have never been dropped. It should have been 100,000 people at that scene when that baby dropped. Men, you could have a million man march. It should have been a million man march there. There is no excuse. Everybody asking, what's the solution? What's the solution? The solution is, men, get yourselves together. You can go behind closed doors and get yourselves together. And you can formulate your own militia. You can formulate, handle it. You need attorneys on your team. Because it ain't no reason why nobody should be up there marching right now. Go up to that courthouse and demand by law now, this is the only crime. This is the only crime is that you kill somebody. What was your reason for killing that person? There's no way that another man should have to kill another man like that, especially a black man. Our black men are stronger than that. They're stronger than that. You mean to tell me you can't protect? Come on now. We're tired of hearing this. And the solution is the men need to get themselves together, formulate a strategy, form your own police headquarters. Form your own police. We know about the black councils. We know about all these. No. Okay, then we still need to form our own thing. They got fear in us. There's a way to put fear back in them. And we need to put the energy out there. We're not having this no more. These people are doing this because they know nobody's going to do nothing to them. Even you beat a dog hard enough, even that dog going to turn their back and bite. But it seems like they're going to beat so many dogs in the ground and kill them that we can't even our dogs ain't biting back. Like, what? But I'm gonna get off of here because I'm passionate about it. Because it ain't the children's fault. It's not the children's fault, because the children should have been taught
in the church. I want to ask a question.
Wait a minute, hold up.
Because you said something that I think is a big part of the problem. You put it on men, being men, and what I'm talking about is adults talking to their children. Which means mothers to their daughters, their sons. Mothers talk to their children way more than fathers do. Way more.
But that may be true.
So what is so the man can't be the reason why all this is happening?
Wait a minute, hold up. Wait a minute. Men know that most of the fathers are not in the home. They know that. I'm not trying to point the blame at the men, but I am saying that the man is the protector no matter what. I am saying that. And I am saying that us women, we need our men. But if our men is not being our shield, we have to come out. We got to do everything. I'm not putting the blame on you. I'm saying there is a problem everywhere. So don't get offended. But it is true. It's true. The truth is just the truth. Now, I'm going to use my son for example. A few months back, my son and his classmates, they left school and they went to academy. Okay, then. They in there, they went to try to find something for the football, the one of the math teams, something they went to do. Either way it go, one little boy walks out with a hat on his head. Well, my son says, dude, No, they told him, the clerk said, are you with them? And my son said, yeah. He said, well, that little boy just walked out with a hat on his head. And my son said, you going to pay for it? My son said, no, I ain't going to pay for it. He said, but I'm going to tell him that he need to bring it back. like that or whatever. They done got in car and they late for school. They late for class because they were just on their lunch break. So my son says, you need to, dude, take that cap back. You know, you need to take that cap back. And they said, he said, man, he said, we late. He says, it's all right. And my son is back there like, we're like, no, I don't think it's all right. You know, it's not all right. Either way it goes, the store calls the police on the boys. Okay, the boys are just driving regular. Next thing you know, the police is in a high-speed chase behind those children. Okay, then, they finally pull the boys over. The boys pull over because they're like, dude, I think the people is after us like that. So they pull over at this Quick Trip. And when they pull over at the Quick Trip, they take all the children out, to put them all on the side of the deal, right? Okay, then. Then they try to frame. There was a girl in the car. They try to frame her. And the girl was like, I didn't steal nothing. The only thing they had on that young man was a cap that was under $20. That's all they had. They took that. But they harassed the children. Then they went as far as try to set one of the children up. And they did, and I'm like, wait a minute, hold up. That child, I just tell the story. I'm going to tell the truth. The one that they set up was my son. They framed my son. Okay, then. I get a call. They didn't go to jail or nothing. They went back to, I get a call. Your child, you know, this done happened. Okay, then. I go back to the scene, and I replay the whole thing, get it taped and everything. I go up to the courthouse. I ask for the copy of the tape. I forget what word I used or whatever, but anyway, a discovery. Everything was on there was discovered, that cop was lying about. Okay, then we go to court. We fight it ourselves, just me and him. I'm right there with him, fighting it, okay? Being that he was 18 at the time, the judge made him represent himself. I thought I was going to be there to represent with him, but I couldn't. So I sit right there. Turns, and we asked for a jury trial. My son got off because the cop had lied. And we showed the videotape. We did all of that. The only thing is that the part that we needed to show, my son had got real nervous because we didn't know that part was on there, but the prosecutor knew that part was on there. So they thought that they had us under a lie, but it didn't work out in their favor. So what I'm about to tell you, Kevin, or whoever you is on there, we work with our children. We there. But my son learned a valuable lesson that day, and he saw how corrupt the police was. He saw the whole justice system as how corrupt it was, very corrupt. But my thing is, like I said, we women, it ain't that we don't talk to our children. It ain't that we don't teach our children. But those are boys. They're going to go out and do that. But where are the men or whatever to also talk and teach them as well?
All right. Let me jump in here because I got several other callers that are waiting to get in as well.
I just wanted to say that part.
Let me also make this interjection because I want to stay on subject, which is what is it that we can do? And first thing that we can do is we work at separatism worse than the system does at times. And we so quick, instead of trying to work together to fix the problem, we always looking for who is it we need to blame for the problem. And looking for the blame is not going to need to be fixed. And that's where I agree, because it's about adults being adults. And not so much about what and who does this and that. We all, I feel like at this point, know what our roles are. But truth be told, neither one of us truly fulfill our roles. But pointing a finger is not going to solve it either. And we've got to learn to agree to disagree as well. I don't think anybody was coming for anybody. And I think both points were valid, but the subject matter really is about the kids, you know, and then what is it that we can do to redirect and make the outcomes change for their betterment? Because truth be told, it ain't about us. It's about them. 7244, I'm about to open you up. Thanks for calling and introduce yourself and make your comment. Those who do have your mics open, I ask that you would mute them so that we can hear those who are speaking until you're ready to speak. 7244, welcome. Introduce yourself and make your comment, remark.
Yeah, what's going on, family? It's Equanik. I'm calling from South Carolina.
All right.
Peace, brother. I think I see what the issue is with us as black folk. You know, I think it is a good thing, you know, even with the last caller, for us as people to sit back and observe and assess the situation or somewhat place judgment, you know, because I hear a lot of black folk, you know, under our teaching and what we got from the church, we don't feel like it's a good thing to judge or place judgment or judge, even crucially. But I think, you know, even listening to the last sister, that is what, you know, she did, and that's what we have to do. We got to place judgment. But, you know, I think one thing that you were saying and what we have to come to the table at then is like being honest in our judgment. You know, so, you know, even if I, as a man, speaking about how we build a family back up, of course we speak about the women. There's some fucked up mothers out here. That's 100%. But, you know, there are a lot of good mothers. And there are more fucked up fathers. There are a lot of messed up fathers. But us sitting, going back and forth and, you know, like you said, playing the blame game, that don't really help us. You know, I think we should identify on how we our lack of being good fathers ourselves, you know, maybe come to the table and say some of the things that we aren't doing. You know, and as we assess what is really going on, we've been in the conscious community and say, what about the children? Baba Amin, good friend, good brother of mine, he quoted an African proverb. And this is another thing. We don't find the importance of going back to our African culture and tradition. Like now you got so many black folk that are not even wanting to call themselves black or even identify with black, blackness, the black struggle, you know, all of this stuff. So I think we constantly, you know, when we're talking about why we can't provide substantial things for our children, it's because us as the adults are really still children. We're still slaves. There's no way you can bring your child or children to freedom if you're still in bondage. That's 100%. So those are facts that we're given. You know, we don't have anything really to give our children. We look at what BET is giving our children. They give your children your Gotti. They give your children future. They give your children different types of drugs to now promote, use, all this stuff. And it's exactly what they're supposed to do because the thing, like the sister said earlier, you know, the same people that control the images that come out your TV screen are the same people that control the images that teach your children. They're the same people that control the images that you see on the TV screen. You know, even controlling the laws. It's no wonder why the police are killing us senselessly. It's because, you know, the law system isn't the one that you know, hurts the white boy. Even when you look at Dahmer, Jeffrey Dahmer movie, America still somewhat glorifies those inhumane, evil folks that have committed inhumane. You know, we recall what they did with not Jeffrey Dahmer, but Charles Manson, right? And during the Charles Manson time, they lifted up that white man. They lifted up. Now, you as a black man could never get no movie or something after you had went out and not only killed a group of white boys, but now you ate them. They would never depict you. You know, so when we're talking about who controls these images, we already know who controls it. And it is an act of war. It is a thing of where you're constantly against something as you're going out engaging in your quote-unquote simple day-to-day. So I think as it relates to us setting up something substantial for our children, which our people have tried to do that. They set up Sunday school. They set up, you know, different community organizations. They set up a lot of different things that, well, I'm going to say they were good in the actual, in the genuine care, but they were not good as it relates to being detailed in the strategy in which we need in order to be successful. You understand? There is an obstacle course. So we need to remember that and not think like, oh, la-da-da-da-da-da-da. It's a free world. I have the same opportunities as everybody else. No, the hell you don't. You understand? You already are behind the line, and we need to understand that before we're going forward. Rather than saying, hey, we all are created equal, and no, that's not how it goes. So I think correcting our education within ourselves, as us as the parents, so that we can engage with each other and receive and listen to what one another is saying, and now being able to utilize those things, and when we come to the table, being able to encourage or support each other. But I've been on Blog Talk for like 5, 6, 7 years, man. And these types of discussions still come up, the same question has been asked. Like, it might not be this same group of black folk, but there's always a group of black folk that wind up taking this question, saying, hey, what do we do for the children? By actually working together to put things in place as adults, putting up your money. The hell with all the other stuff. If we come into this Blog Talk every 2 days out of the week, it is very important that the grown folks that are talking about results, how we get, put up some money. People, when we're putting up money, we actually have something sound that we're going to utilize the money for. You understand? But if not, we'll just be talking. You understand? So I feel like we can come up with some positive results. We just got to be sound.
All right. Appreciate it. Appreciate it, brother. I want to say something real quick, and then 4823, I'm going to open up your microphone and let you get in on this discussion. Because I think that sometimes I may say some things that may sound a little maybe taken the wrong way. But first off, I'm about black first, period. I could care less about me, black man, black woman, black whatever. If it's black, I'm black first, period. That's me. And just like I said a few minutes ago, I think that all of us on this call know our order and know what we should be doing. And no, I don't expect women to fight. I expect that to be a man's job, but all in the same breath, I expect us all to know our roles. And in order to see, my thing is, I know I don't do everything right, and I'm always open for correction, always. And I don't need correcting very often because I look in the mirror a whole lot, and I know what I do and don't do. And I think that a lot of us look past that and don't see our own shortcomings sometimes. You know, we as a people need to, first of all, just learn collectively to care for one another, period. whether you be man, woman, child, whatever, and just love that person genuinely because they black and we need each other because we ain't got nobody else. And let that be the reason. So I just wanted to clear that up. Number 4823, you can introduce yourself, and thanks for calling in. And the question is, you know, like, what's your in your opinion, you know, what can we do to you know, better things for the children? And we'll get more in depth, especially in this second hour that's coming up. But thank you for calling in.
Okay. Hi, everybody. My name is Kimberly, also known as Kim J. And I would like to say there's a couple of things that I believe that we can do. And first of all, what the number one thing that we need to do is take a different perspective. We need to stop taking the perspective of being, being former slaves or anything like that. No, we need to take a different perspective. We were never slaves. We might have been enslaved, but we were never quote-unquote slaves. So that's the perspective that has been put upon us that we're working from. But what we do need to understand is that we actually are prisoners of war. If you notice, every time we speak, like someone just mentioned a minute ago, that it's like a war. We're being warred upon because we're prisoners of war. We're not slaved people. We're not people that, you know, were kidnapped from a foreign land and brought to this land and brought came in as slaves. No, we're prisoners of war because even those people who were kidnapped on the foreign land and trafficked over to this land, they were prisoners of war as well. So that's the perspective we need to take, is that we're prisoners of war, which makes you an equal, basically. It just means that at some point someone has gotten you in captivity of some sort. That's my opinion, because once we understand that we are actually at war or in war, then we will start to behave different and train our children up differently. Another thing I wanted to point out, though, is that I really don't think, maybe it's because I'm a woman, but I didn't hear blame. I don't think that Solomon meant to blame men. I think that what she was saying is one thing that we can do is whether you are a father in the home or you're just a man in the community, is we can also start to come up with strategies to protect our communities, period. It doesn't have anything to do with mothers and fathers, but just looking at ourselves as a community as a whole, we need to come up with strategies. Those are some things that we can do. And in those things, actually, the children will see that and they will benefit that, and we will actually operate in such a manner that the children actually start to pick up on that, and that will help as well. I mean, I'm just saying we need to stop taking their narrative. Number one, I can't say number one because they're all number one. Every point that we've all made tonight actually is number one, because everything is happening all at the same time. But we need to change our perspective. We need to form our, you know, come up with our own ways of protecting each other, our communicating, our dealing with each other. We need to understand that we are prisoners of war. We're not just quote unquote slaves or former slaves or freed slaves or anything like that. And I hope no one takes offense to what I'm saying, because we all were taught that. I'm just saying we need to take a new perspective, and we need to take control of the narrative and operate from our narrative versus the narrative that they're giving us. So those are things that I think that will actually help us actually help the children, because they need to see it in us first. They need to see it before they can accept being told anything, because children start learning long before, just from observation, long before you actually start specifically teaching them certain lessons. So those are my opinions.
All right. Thank you, Sister Kim. And I do agree because, yeah, it takes the community as a whole, and that community is inclusive of all of us, you know. And then, you know, what role that we take and that we play, you know, within that. I know we were conversing earlier, Kevin, Kia, and I, and, you know, I was just like, you know, if we fix a lot of our internal problems, the external problems wouldn't even really matter because they wouldn't even be relevant or have the same effect that they have on us now. But that takes us all working together, like you say, community, rebuilding the village, you know, and definitely, you know, working together collectively for what's best for the group and not just one particular demographic or another. Caller number 8680, thanks for calling in. Thanks for being patient, too. I'm opening up your mic. You introduce yourself and get in the conversation.
And if I could, hey, I'd like to jump in after that person's finished speaking, if that's all right.
Right on, brother. And I'm going to leave everybody's mic open, so when somebody is speaking, just, you know, mute your phone so that won't be any background noise. And I'm sorry, brother, go ahead.
Peace and blessings to the family, Brother Ozzy. Very interesting question. Can you all hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. Very, very interesting question. I would say my main thing, unless we come together as the village and give these young people something to do, put something on their mind other than the streets, then, you know, it's going to be what we see now. It's not a matter of you got to throw a bunch of money out there. Sometimes you just got to put the time in. As an elder, we got to teach our children respect, you know, for each other, respect for life, you know, respect for the village. Then on top of that, you know, we should be teaching them about the system and how the system works, you know, before they go out here and feel like that they can, you know, be playing in these streets. Because the streets are unforgiving, and I think a lot of us that are on this line understand that part of it. The streets don't forgive you. The streets don't love you. You know, so my thing is that it's a matter of putting something different into our young people, and then holding them accountable. Also, you can't just let a young person be out here running wild, and then when something goes bad, and they know it's bad, and you know right from wrong, and you're not being held accountable for it. You know, because if we don't hold them accountable for it, this system would love to hold them accountable for it. You know, how many young people that you know in your circle right now, I'm asking everybody this question, how many young people do you know right now that knows that this system is a pay-to-play prison system? These prison systems get paid for locking you up. These judges get paid for locking you up. How many of our young people know that or recognize that? And if they did recognize that going out in these streets, that maybe they would play a little bit differently in these streets. Because truthfully, it's not a game. These race soldiers, they don't mind putting a bullet in you. And we've seen that, you know, forever. You know, I'm almost 60 years old, and, you know, nothing has really changed since I was a young kid. I was seeing this type of stuff when I was younger. I lived through the 80s, through the 90s, through the crack, through the drug wars. So I've seen it all, and nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. So imagine me talking to my mother in her 80s, And she's basically saying the same thing.
Yeah.
Going through the same stuff. So my thing is that we're going to have to change from within. And I don't know if anybody said the African proverb, the child who is not embraced by the village will burn it down to feel its warmth. That's an African proverb, and that's true. So at some point, we have to come together as a village. And, you know, I get what the brother was saying when he said it's going to take money. But for certain things, it don't take money. For some things, all you got to do is to speak to our young people. And a lot of them are screaming out to be led by someone. You'd be surprised if you talk to a group of young people, you know, and just listen to them, listen to what they're saying. You know, we're at a pivotal time in history right now, I believe. And my thing is that our generation, us becoming elders, we cannot drop the ball. We really have to raise this next generation up to be the warriors. Because a lot of us are, you know, at some point you get too old to be a warrior. But if you drop the seeds to raise up some young warriors, then that's what you're going to get. And on that, I'm going to land my plane, brother, because I know Brother Kevin wanted to speak. So I'm going to land my plane right there.
All right, brother. Stay on the line, though. Everybody's mic going to remain open. Appreciate you.
Yeah, I appreciate you as well, brother. All right. And I'm not going to even apologize for what I'm about to say. I hope nobody takes it personal. I'm just going to speak from the heart because that's really the only way I know how to speak. The first lady that I was speaking with, I agree with you about us having to stay busy in order to survive. It does cut into that time where we need to be, you know, coaching and talking with and speaking with and, you know, getting our kids, you know, into a better headspace so when they go out in this world, they're not completely unarmed. I agree with the gentleman to an extent about certain things as well that, you know, as well as what Brother Melvin was saying about not doing the blame thing and you know, and I feel like, you know, everyone has said something that I agreed with. However, I still don't really hear, I guess, what I'm, you know, hoping to hear, which is not, we can't save anybody from before. We can save some of these ahead of us, though, you know, and that's what I would prefer to hear some suggestions along that line, more so than what happened or what we, you know, the terminologies or any of that. I believe everybody on this call is extremely intelligent, old enough to know what's going on, can see what's happening, can diagnose the hell out of it. Right now I'm looking for a prognosis. I need to know what we're going to do that can help save some of our kids because none of us have been strong enough to stop these cops from acting out or to get that just is system in a just us system. So how do we protect our children? And I'm hearing now I kind of have a better understanding of why we can't make this happen on a grander scale. And it's because we do have so many different perspectives about it. When I look at how this country started, those white people were not all together, except at one point. When they felt that that way of life that they had finally eked out for themselves was in jeopardy, them motherfuckers got together. And they decided to fight England, who at the time was the biggest naval power on the planet. And they held them off. Now, I'm not promoting the Revolutionary War or any of that. What I'm looking at is behaviors that we need to adopt so that that way we feel the same way. One may be Christian and Muslim, but hold on 1 minute. You good, bro? You good. Yep, y'all take care. What I would like to see us doing is adopting certain techniques and adapting them to our situation. As much as we love to talk about what all of this other shit out external has done, I'm looking at what we haven't done internally so that we would be in a better position. This ain't even about blaming shit. This is about straight up accountability. I don't think that a parent feels better knowing that they did all they could and the cop shot their kid any damn way. I don't think no parent sleeps better at night knowing their kid's gone and they did every, you know, saying, well, I did the best I could. Failure is not an option on this one. Those children are our future. And if they are out there and they're under peril by police or others who look like them or don't, I think that it's our job to have them as prepared as we can have them. It's kind of like with a hunter. A hunter is not guaranteed to come home from a hunting trip because he could easily become something's prey. However, when he goes out to hunt, he takes his gun, he takes his bullets, he takes something along just in case he get hungry before he gets something. He takes some things with him, so he prepares for that battle. And that's what I guess what's pissing me off is I just don't feel that we have ever truly prepared for the battle that we are in. And our kids are the ones that's going to suffer. I'm 57. My daughter is 22. Time's on her side, unless it's here in America, because here she don't count. Just like I don't count. Just like y'all don't count. You count when they want you to vote. You count when they need money. Other than that, when do you count here? Why is it that in a town right up the road from where this happened, a white boy rammed two police cars, shot somebody, and yet he's alive and in a jail cell right now? Right now. Did his parents talk to him and prepare him for some shit out there that we don't know? What's going on? We're losing when we're losing here. We are losing. And that's what I want to stop. I don't want to blame women. I don't want to blame men. What are we doing that can get ahead of that shit? That's what I want. I don't, you know, the rest of that, it's nice to hear. It sounds intelligent. It's all of that good shit. Is it fixing anything? And my answer is fuck no. It ain't. And I'm going to give.
And I'm going to say this right here, simply put. When you look at everything, just simply this. My grandmother told me self-preservation is the first law of nature. And going back again to the African proverb, it says when the village fails to take care of the child or children, the children or child will burn down the village in order to feel the warmth of his heat from the fire. So that's a reality. We're going to constantly see these children tear stuff up until we start becoming more responsible inside our conversation, inside our dialogue. We can't do anything. We need not make any move until we have our minds right. We need not to do anything. We don't need to talk about saving no money, any of that, until we get our minds and hearts right. So whenever we do save, we'll know how to spend it. We'll know where to take our children to get education. We'll know how to engage in politics to feel good about ourselves first before we feel good about anybody. I think that's what we've had the consciousness to now still keep moving forward, but we hadn't stopped and said, well, hey, who is this consciousness supporting? Who were we yesterday? Who are we today? And who are we going to be tomorrow? As simple as that. You know, when we get to engaging in those questions, I think, therefore, we can find the love. We can now validate ourselves through the pride that's needed. That's what the whole world is teaching you. This white man is going to constantly kill you. You're going to have Mexicans and everybody else that's going to devalue your life. Everybody except for you. Until you step in and say, well, hey, I am valuable. I am someone. Now let's do something about it. For real, for real. You understand? Like we do. I've seen Negroes build all types of silly stuff. Looking at the BET Awards, that was a multi-million-dollar event where there was millions of dollars. Now, if we can get together for some silliness, talking about dropping it low and doing all, why can't we put that same amount of money into doing something substantial for our children? And there lies what the issue is the mental slavery, 100%.
I mean, I love what you're saying, but I believe we do need to shatter illusions. Yeah, but I think we need to start shattering the illusions that our children have about their place in this world and their importance to it. Because what I'm also seeing is a lot of children who, yeah, when they're at home, they are, you know, model. They behave, they listen, all of that. When they get outside, they get around knucklehead kids who nobody's really, you know, paying attention to and wind up in situations. It's like the lady in the beginning was saying, her son was with someone who decided to steal something. And next thing he know, he finds himself under pressure by the system just because of the being accompanied with this person. You know, and I'm thinking, yeah, but if we had something in place where these young people knew that the consequence was something that no parent can come fix, then their behavior would be more, more about self-preservation. Because like you said, that's strong. That's the strongest drive in the body. But sex don't even touch self-preservation. So how do we get our kids to preserve that, you know, to see themselves as, you know, the priceless humans they are, and that they start behaving that way so they can be around? How do we know that one of these punk-ass cops ain't then killed the person who could have cured cancer or some of the other things that ail all humans? And now they laying there turning into dust and worm food because of some foolish move by someone else who was on a power trip or fear for their life or whatever. I mean, none of those things make me sleep better at night. I don't want to lose no more over silly shit. So what do we do to stop that shit? And you know what? I know that this is a rhetorical question because nobody really has an answer.
I mean, the answer is sort of us picking up arms and going to outright war with the police is you got to hit them in their pockets. That's the only thing that they seem to understand is when they get hit in their pockets. And that means not only pushing for defunding them, that also means for holding them accountable too. When they kill one of us, like they're held accountable for killing any other so-called citizen of a different color. You know, when they start losing money or when they start losing their jobs, and I mean actually losing their jobs, becoming non-eligible to be in law enforcement for doing, you know, for taking a life, then, you know, you'll see a lot of stuff change then. But my thing is that until we start holding people and groups accountable, then we continue to get this. Even our own children need to hold them accountable. I told my sons, I beat this into their heads, figuratively, you know, not literally, but this was in their heads. You are not a follower. You are a leader. If you're in a stolen car and you know the car is stolen, if you don't get out, if you don't make the choice to get out of that car, then you're going down with the ship when they go down. See, we all have choices in life. And my thing is that if you choose not to speak to these young people when you see them going off the rails because you're scared of them, then you're part of the problem. You're part of the problem. When you see them out in these streets and they cutting up, you know, as OG or unk, you know, which a lot of them call me Unc now. All right, Unc, I got you. I hear you. If you don't speak up, then they're going to keep going down the same path they're going down. And the little shorties that had the gun on their belt and was going to do something crazy. And I sat there and had a conversation with them just to hold them up in their tracks. And I asked them, where did you see yourself, bro? Do you love yourself? Do you love your people? What are you out here doing? And I get it. If you're put in a situation where that's the only thing you can do to feed your family, I get it. But my thing is, we got to try to reach them and tell them it's a better way. It's no law against talking to our own people. It's no, talking don't cost you nothing. But sometimes you'd be surprised a lot of these young people want to be talked to by an older person, somebody that's been there, somebody that has something to lose. Because right now, a lot of them don't have nothing to lose. And when we talk about survival, you know, every day the world becomes more of a jungle to them. A lot of them don't think they're going to live to 30 years old. So they're doing everything they can right now. They live in life the way they live it, living on the edge. And it's not right. But my thing is that, you know, what have we left for them? What's our legacy that we're leaving to them? If we don't do something to change it. You know, there's nothing wrong with having a boys or girl club. Hell, I don't even care. You know, I'm not into marijuana like that, man, but my thing is that the way marijuana shops are blowing up and these CBD shops are blowing up, and right now all I see is immigrants getting these shops. And I'm like, but my people went to jail for marijuana. How come we can't get a piece of that action? You know, so these are things that we need to gather around the campfire, around the village or whatever, and be more proactive than being reactive. Right now, we're reactive. We react to when somebody gets shot by the popo.
Can I say something?
So go ahead, sister. I'm gonna land my plane right there. Go ahead.
No. I actually want to talk to you because you just said something that I think was very helpful and that we should do. And that is, you said, can we sit around the campfire? Say that again.
I said we need to gather around the campfire and really, you know, have a village moment. And I mean call the village.
Well, let's do that.
And we really
let's organize that. Yeah, let's organize that. Where are you located?
Right.
I'm in Washington, D.C.
I'm sorry? I didn't hear you. You where?
I'm in D.C., and there are actually groups out here that are actually doing that. We don't hear about it because it's something positive. And unfortunately,
right.
We hear a lot more about the negative stuff that goes on. But there are people, maybe even in your area, that are actually out there doing this, doing youth outreach. We call it youth outreach, that are getting to some of these the at-risk youngins that are out here doing crazy stuff and really putting their mind on something else, whether it be, you know, coding with computers or, you know, getting them ready for, you know, dealing with the future economy and teaching them to love themselves and teaching them about how important it is to support one another, more so than, you know, unfortunately for our community, we give all of our money away to other communities, whether it be the Chinese store or the Arab store on the block, or whether it be to, you know, supporting the NFL. You know, we give our money away in our community. We don't give it to each other, and that's the problem. That's ground zero where it starts at. We support everyone else's community but our own. We support everyone else's community but our own. And damn it, here comes the holiday season again. How much money are we going to put into this economy that doesn't give a damn about us?
Right.
And I'm going to land my plane right there.
Now, I've been listening this whole time. I just want to add something with him saying that. Brooke, a couple people ago, I think he was maybe the first guy who I wasn't familiar with that came on. He said something about how you can go on any podcast and hear a different group of black people asking the same question. Listen to us talk. The age-old question. Like I said, I was born in the early 80s. So there was a generation before us, before me, that sat around and tried to see how to get through to the youth. How do we, you know, basically, how do we teach them to protect themselves from white folks? Okay? That was in the early 90s was heavy gang banging and all that, you know. So I was a teenager around then, and that's what we were dealing with. Back it up a little bit. Before that was the crack epidemic. And so you had the generation before them trying to figure out what do we do. This is just how I'm feeling about the whole situation. Yes, as a whole, we need to take responsibility for dropping the ball, period, within our community, with our children, with ourselves. As I was saying earlier, to me, what can we do? And action-wise, talking-wise, it's been being done for generations. You could have a straight and narrow kid that does exactly what they're supposed to do, and he falls victim to the hands of law enforcement simply because he is black. So this is the issue for me. I feel like for the most of us, even if we feel like it's done harshly or wrong, or I feel like for the most of us, people do talk to their children. You know, I've seen some people say things to their children. I might not like the way they deliver it, but, hey, I get what you're saying. You're telling them. Overall, this really isn't an issue that can begin with us. As Brother was saying about the dog, I'm going to explain to you what I mean by that. I don't give a darn if every black person on this earth walked the straight and narrow. Again, take you back to the slave era. These people could not, I mean, you had some rebellion go on, but these people were forcibly controlled. And in a sense, that's still us because we're trying to figure out how to fit into their world to be safe. White people don't have their children trying to conform to us or to anyone else. They have everyone else trying to conform to them. And this is what the issue is for me. White people understand two things, violence and money. I hate hearing that we have no power. Man, we have all the power in the world. We just don't know it. And it's something as simple as what this country loves, the dollar. As Brother was saying, statistics show that we are the highest consumers of anything. Honey, these folks might not even have it to spend and find a way to get it just to spend it. I really think in order for us to be able to get to our children, we have to assert ourselves. We have to assert our people. We have to get us in a position because to me the worst thing in the world, and I get what my brother was saying, as far as, you know, the kids thinking, the world thinks you're nobody. The world, to this world, you absolutely mean nothing. They need to know that. But at the same time, they need to know that is absolutely not true. Why do you think they fight so hard to eliminate you? Because they know exactly what you are. So for me, I think it starts somewhere bigger than in the center of us. I think us as a people, and this will be so hard to do because, as I was telling you too earlier when we were talking, there are so many people that are not affected by it. I have not been affected by police brutality. I mean, I had my little situation, but truth of the matter is it was something I did. You know what I mean? And even then, I was treated with the utmost respect. So that's not my struggle, but because it is the struggle of some people that look like me, some people I love, some people I know, people I don't know, but people I'm tired of seeing being treated this way. Oh, I'm going to do what I have to do. But it'll be so hard because our biggest problem is being able to unify. Mm-hmm. If black people as a whole, even the majority, get on page and realize, honey, we have power simply in the dollar. We aren't even, we are far from the riches in this nation, but we contribute so much to this nation financially. How is that even possible? How is that even possible? So if we can get an understanding of that, and can, I really honestly feel like, and like I said, it won't, I say this often too, I might not even live to see when it happened. Martin Luther King never saw his dream, so who am I? But it is highly possible for us to be able to assert our position in this world by simply using a, what we think is such a small power, but it's so huge that we have. These, if you realize them jokers will sell their soul for a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
If we can learn to withhold dollars, or either, you know, hey, the necessities and that's it. They need us. I believe, because to me, most of it is simply things that are in place. Brother Melvin, earlier, what was that you were talking about? We were talking about how they're protected under whatever.
That qualified immunity,
Yeah, baby, that's it. So there's certain things like that. When that money stops circulating, y'all, and I said, I hate to take it there, but that's the truth of the matter. This is all they understand. We could, like I said, beat our children to in their mind to they black and blue. That still won't protect them because to this world, they still a nobody. A poor white man has more rights and is looked upon higher than a rich black man in this nation.
Right.
If we can take control simply by the dollar, like we're good people. Overall, even though some of us are really fucked up, and excuse me, overall, black people are some good-hearted people. Black people, I sit at a red light and see white people standing out on the side of the road holding help signs, hungry signs. I see dozens and dozens of white people passing by. Black people go stop and hand them a dollar. I see that often. And I'm like, man, I'll do it. And I'm that same person that some white people just get on my nerves, but out of the goodness of my heart, I don't like to see people hungry. You know what I mean? We are really great people, so we're always looking out of our eyes and with our heart trying to figure out a situation. We'll never win.
Right. I agree.
You have to think with their brains. You have to, as wicked as it is, you have to try to at least understand the wickedness of their heart and operate out of it to a certain extent. Because for decades, for centuries, we have tried by doing the right thing, by just telling our children, basically, you know, do this and you'll be okay. And then we're still lying to them. Because some would do that and still end up in the grave. And they found some type of way to justify you. So it all boils down to it's bigger than anything we can do besides step outside and really look at this situation in this world and start operating differently than what we have been. This has been the same thing over and over repetitively. Marching when something happens. They ain't got us nowhere. Hold your dollar. We so eager, so many of us are so eager to blend in with the Joneses. Me personally, I don't give a damn about none of that. I bust my ass every day to have money to put up for who knows what's going to happen. You know what I mean? But
right.
I don't care about all that. I feel some type of way that you don't respect me as a person, my brothers and sisters, as people simply because of their color, but you are so eager to take my dollar. Again, white people, this system that they created only understand two things, money and violence. So I honestly think that's the only way we would ever make progress if we untrain ourselves from thinking how we know to think and know what we're dealing with. And start thinking. And Brother Kevin, you said something similar to that a minute ago when you were saying, you said something similar to that. I don't know. I was listening so much trying to gather information from everybody. And that's real. And only then, like I said, do I feel like we can even be, when I say we, anyone of elder status, can even have the space to be able to show our children this is who you are. You got a place in this world. you got a dollar, you can feel your way in. Withholding money, I do believe, like I said, I'm not into politics. I hate all that. Because to me, at the end of the day, Republican, Democrat, whatever, it's all the same thing. How you playing checkers, you playing with red pieces, you playing with black pieces. At the end of the day, the game is still played under a certain set of rules, no matter what. So I hate that. No matter what. So, but at the end of the day, I feel like when these people start losing, they have no choice but to listen. Even if they don't, they've been forced to do it. You don't even want to do these, but we ain't getting nowhere with these niggas now. That's always been how they controlled us. But I don't know. I think it's just stretched a little bit. Thing we can do per se, where as far as we're talking and showing and doing, because we've for centuries. We ain't the first people to sit up here. People of our generation are not the first people to sit up here and try to have this discussion. It was done in the 60s. It was done in the, you know, and it's the same thing. And as good as I want to say it's a good thing, our downfall as black people for us will always be our hearts, our sense of human decency, because we want to figure things out what we consider the right way. But they don't work with these people, man.
Yeah, true. Let me open up. Bring in caller number 7712. They've been waiting. Caller, your mic is open.
Peace to all on the calls.
Peace, brother.
This is Brother Mark from Chicago. And
where you been?
Peace, brother. in my skin, brother, trying to win.
Look at that.
Brother Kevin, Brother Melvin, always good to hear your voices and your perspective. I really appreciate all the wisdom, however conventional it is, on this show, on this particular call tonight. If I could allude to what the sister earlier was saying, Sister Solomon, I believe, alluded to the paid for prison, the prison population, for lack of a better word, the prison system, and how, and we've discussed this on these airways before, brothers. I know we have, of how. How they're making so much money off of us, and how I even did a show where I outlined the various states that had been building private prisons over the last decade, where they're making billions of dollars. And with that being said, that is only a fraction of the problem, and the wisdom that's been shared on this call tonight, again, I really appreciate. And some of the things that have been spoken is what we've discussed on many occasions, and it's a shame that we always have to have this conversation over and over again, because as Brother Man was saying earlier, there's nothing has really changed. And to reiterate what Brother Kevin was speaking on, to hopefully answer a question that seems unanswerable. I don't know that that's really not a word, but because we've been seeing this same thing, and we are. As Sister alluded to earlier, we are prisoners of war. We are at war. We are in a war, not just for our minds, our bodies, and our souls. And with that being said, you have to prepare our youth and make them aware of this fact, not a notion. We also have to take some of the blame. And that's one thing that when I heard the word blame being used, in a different context, the blame have to, when you're pointing the finger at somebody, you must remember there's three more pointing back at you. So when there's some blame to be accounted for, we must take part of that blame. And the reason why I say that is because I'm in a position at my job where I know my role. And I train people. I've trained thousands of people in my line of work. And in fact, just recently, a young man from the hood in Inglewood, one of the worst neighborhoods, renowned for violence, renowned for 15-year-old children packing gas, killing people. He recently said to me, asked me a question, and I had to give him some of my wisdom. And he said, thank you, Unc, because I had nobody to teach me that. Because as Brother Man alluded to earlier, some of us, there's some fucked up women, mothers out there, and there's some fucked up fathers. And this young man who's trying to do the right thing, and I know he's a gangbanger, and I know he carries guns, and I know he's only 22 years old, but he's got a child, and he's trying to do the right thing. But he's involved with some knuckleheads, and he's desperately seeking counsel, wisdom, someone to teach him. Like Sister was saying earlier, these people are, it's a cry for help, and they're desperately seeking some kind of guidance. And again, I know my role. And as an elder, I'm almost 60 years old. As an elder, I know my role and I know what I must do. If for nothing else, to instill some sense of morality, some sense of decorum, manners, approach, and wisdom in order, you know, in order to teach these children the right way, some kind of guidance. And I'm no preacher. I'm not a teacher or anything, but what I can do is pass on my experience. And especially life on these mean streets where I live in my world, it's a daily battle. And again, it's incumbent on us. Yeah, again, we have to take some of the blame because the ball was dropped at some point. And no matter how many, we have to take responsibility for all these children. I have grandchildren. I have children. My kids are grown, but I got grandchildren. And there's no way that I'm going to let these knuckleheads out here get their hooks in them. Like it looks like what happened down there in Gulfport. I wasn't aware of this situation until Brother Melvin informed me. And so, we've seen this scenario too many times. And I'm not one here to make judgment because I don't know. I wasn't there. I wasn't a witness. However, what I do know is this has happened too many times. And even if this 15-year-old boy didn't have a gun, more than likely he had no business in that situation because a 15-year-old boy shouldn't be unsupervised to that degree. And for him or someone else to put him in that situation, you know, it rings such a familiar bell to me, living on the south, growing up on the south side of Chicago, because there's so many, there's 11-year-olds running around shooting at people. In fact, there was an 11-year-old at my job 2 weeks ago with a gun. at my job on the lakefront around a bunch of millionaires harassing people. Yeah, this is what they do. So I don't know what that situation was. It sounded like some gangster shit to me. Sound like some flossing gangster shit, and these kids had some firearms, and they were probably doing what was there. Who knows? I don't know what I do know is that it's incumbent on us. And you spoke, sister, you spoke earlier about how much our value and how much we mean to this economy. This is why we promote on this particular network, Blackout Tuesday, where we boycott everybody except for us. We only patronize our people. We keep our money in the community for as many hours as we possibly can on Tuesdays. Any day is a good day for a boycott. Don't just have to be Tuesday, but particularly we promote Blackout Tuesday, which means boycott every goddamn body. Don't give them no money. Are you talking about spending money over the silly season? Yeah, this is a great time to boycott because they don't give a shit about us. The only time they give a shit about us is when it's time, like Brother Melvin was saying, when it's time to vote and when it's time to get this money. So that's why we promote Blackout Tuesday. But again, any day is a good day to boycott their asses because that's the only language that they speak. And with that, I yield.
Hey, bro, I'm going to have to go here in a minute. Let me throw something real quick. It only takes 60 seconds. I want to continue this conversation. I will set a show up for Thursday, Panther Power Chat, Open Rant. All of you come and bring somebody with you. And let's go ahead and really see what we can do. We can beat this rug and get all the dust out of it so that this way we can have some ideas of what to do with our children. With that said, I'm going to jump off. We will be doing the show. I'll set it up and make sure that everybody can get the flyer or whatever. I'll send it to Melvin. He'll make sure everybody gets it. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to do what I'm sure a whole lot of people want me to do, and I'm going to shut the fuck up and let y'all finish.
My man.
in the panel. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, ma'am. We here.
Oh, okay then. Yes, we definitely need to continue this conversation because everyone is, you know, coming together on some things, especially that money and that violent thing. That's the only thing these people understand. And I can't get off into it now because we're about to close this show. But sometimes we're so busy seeing the forest that we can't see the trees. Or we so busy seeing the trees, we can't see the forest. What if those children that's out there that's doing all that shooting and everything and don't have no fear, what if those are the real warriors? What if they was guided by a true warrior in their original domain? But see, right now everybody's messed up. They scattered. They don't know their mission. They don't know their purpose while they're here. While we busy looking at them and saying that, oh, they messed up. They bad. Perhaps they really not. Perhaps those are the front team. Perhaps they the warriors. But somebody don't know that, or everybody don't know that. And even themselves, they don't know that. So what they're supposed to be doing, they have their energy pointed in the wrong direction. But what if their energy is directed to the focus that they're supposed to be focused on? I know that may be over somebody's head. That might be a little deep. But we better start thinking off the charts and start seeing this stuff for what it is. Because like Sister said earlier, they ain't trying to hear that. We can't work in their system. They have no fear of us right now. And the energy that the children are putting out there, they banking on that because they've been misguided.
But what if we guide them back to where they're supposed to be and we build it up like that? That's all I got to say. It's going to get deeper. That's it. All of something fast. Food for thought. See it.
Melvin?
Yeah, I appreciate that. I say the last, my last thing on it is that we really need to get our young people back to a rites of passage, you know, in the culture. And I think that's something that's really missing. There should be one for the young men. There should be one for the young ladies. And there should be one to even become an adult, to consider yourself an adult. Right now, they don't have that. And right now, it's just complete chaos. So, like Sister was saying, you know, they need guidance. You know, bring them back into the fold instead of letting them live outside of us. And just, you know, we sitting back looking at, wow, that's crazy. They crazy. These young folks is crazy. Nah, we got to embrace them, you know, and we got to earn their respect back. Because, like you said, right now, they don't have respect for us. They don't even have respect for life, period. And that's why they can, you know, pick up a gun and point it at somebody that looks like them and pull the trigger. And nobody cares until it's a cop shooting one of us. Then we all care. You know, I'm not saying that's the case because I care anytime one of my people gets killed. I don't care who kills them. You know, over stupid mess, you know, over just, you know, racial mess, whatever it is. You know, our lives do matter. We got to start showing that. You do. And, you know, I'm so sorry that young man had to leave here the way that he did. And the stupid-ass, punk-ass cop is still walking around on probably administrative leave, still getting paid. You know, if I did things I wanted to do the way I wanted to do it, you know, I'd have the FBI knocking on my door. But, you know, we have to, you know, figure out a different way to do things. And right now, you know, we're going to have to go the legal route or the legal route, whichever, however you want to say it. And we're going to have to really start getting at these police departments and making sure that when these killer cops take a life, you know, we're going to have to delve deep into who are they affiliated with, what gangs are they working with, you know, and we really have to just want to go there because it's a known fact that these cops have gangs. And they don't mind shooting black people at all. You know, that's something that nobody likes to talk about when they talk about law enforcement. So, you know, I'm on NWA right now. Fuck the police.
We like to talk about it. White folks don't like to talk about it.
Yeah, we like to talk about it. It's time that instead of us talking about it, we have to start doing something about it. Those that can. And that means putting pressure on the politicians, putting pressure on these police groups to make sure that we are holding them accountable. Because if we don't, until then, like I said, short of, you know, us, you know, picking up our Kit Kats or whatever and going after them and being like, okay, look, this is what it's going to be. Every time you kill one of us, you're killing three of yours. And you'll never know what hit you. You'll never know when it happened. See, I can't talk like that because I know the FBI listening to us now. But, again, like I said, fuck all law enforcement. I don't give a fuck. You know, that's what it's going to come down to, fellas. So if you're listening, take that to your bank. That's what you're pushing the people toward. And on that, I land my plane. I yield.
All right. I got about 4 minutes, so I want to take a little minute to thank everybody for calling in. Also want to once again send my condolences out to the family of this young man in Gulfport, Mississippi. And like I said earlier in the show, hopefully I'll be able to get with Sister Kia and we can bring an update on this situation and possibly even have other callers involved in this situation on the show as well. This is something that we see, unfortunately, on a regular basis. The police brutality, which, you know, one of the callers brought up, it just stems from the slave catcher's mentality. We have to realize and remember where this institution originated from, and that's why it's important for us to never forget and for us to always remember and for us to always pass that knowledge of history down to our youth, the history and the true history of who we're dealing with, who we are, and our self-worth, not what we're told we're worth, but our true self-worth. There have been a lot of good points made tonight. You know, I firmly believe that economics is something that we can't teach our children enough of, because in a capitalistic society, money is power. And like Sister Kia said, yes, we are the biggest consumer in this country every year, and they give us that same week $1.3 trillion total every year, because if they tell us the true amount, we may just realize the power we possess. I've often said that we could take a position, a more powerful position in this country without even firing a shot, by simply aligning ourselves and doing the right thing for us for a change, and not always falling into the notion of feeling like we have to be there for everybody else when nobody is ever there for us. We need to start putting that same energy of compassion and empathy that we show for others into ourselves, because we don't get it in return. And if we don't give it to one another, we will never get it. So these are the things that we have to give to our children. And I'm looking forward to Thursday's show with Kevin, and I hope that all of you can join in Thursday for that particular show, because, yeah, it's time that we start fixing the problems and not just always addressing the problem, because in order to fix the problem, we've got to engage it. And that's something that we have not done, and we've got to put that energy into this particular situation so that we can change the condition. Like I always say in closing, let's plan, let's organize, let's unify, because we all have a key. I want to thank you all for calling in. Thank you all for listening online. And I will be back on the airways Monday on my regular schedule. Appreciate you all calling in. Hope you all have a good night, good rest of your weekend, and start your week off on a positive note. With that being said, I am out. Peace, power, love.
On the ocean and upon our sea, fish full of mercury. Oh, oh, mercy, mercy, mercy. underground and in the sky. Animals and birds who live nearby are alive. Oh, mercy, mercy me. All things and what they used to be. What about this overcrowded land? How much more we use from man? Can't you stand?